All right, people, praise the Lord for our final hymn tonight. Let's stand, and we'll open up to hymn number 10. So good to see you all in the house of God on a Wednesday night service. It's a blessing to come and worship together during the week. And we need to be leaning on the everlasting arms. We'll sing all three. And sure, I'm glad we got the choir fixed.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Yeah. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a blessed peace,
what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. The brighter path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. We're leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarm. We're leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Please be seated, church. Oh, I caught June there trying not to laugh. The pastor.
That was funny. Yeah. Big delay between stanzas.
I have trouble remembering that.
Let's grab our Bibles, folks.
And we'll open up to the book of Romans, of course, as we continue trudging along through chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're being greatly blessed each week that we study because of the material being so precious to the believer from Romans chapter 8. It's the Holy Spirit's chapter, as we well know. Indeed it is. Tonight, we're only going to cover one more verse, and that is because it's a verse that is jam-packed full of knowledge for us, and it's not to be gleaned over lightly. Romans chapter 8. Remain seated tonight, folks. And look with me. We'll pick it up tonight in verse 23. And I wanted to go 23 through 25, but last night as I was preparing, I realized I couldn't get past the 23rd verse. There's just so much there. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for verse 23. And Lord, I thank you for the five incredible truths you showed me from this verse that I'm about to share with the church. And Lord, we're just so grateful for your Holy Spirit as our guide, our director, our instructor. Lord, we're thankful that he is the Spirit of truth, and that through him, we are strengthened by the truth. Lord, we just ask you to bless your word to our hearts tonight by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, tonight as we come to verse 23, Paul is shifting gears again as he turns his attention back to true believers after having addressed the creation itself in verses 19 through 22. You saw that in verse 19, the creature, that's the creation. Verse 20, the creature, that's the creation. Verse 21, the creature. That's the creation. Verse 22, the creation. Clearly, we see that in four verses, he went aside for a little bit by the Holy Spirit to speak and address the creation itself in which we live. But now, in verse 23, by coming back to the true believer, Paul will speak of our present state of expectant waiting for something yet future. Okay? Now, the first thing I want us to see tonight is found in verse 23. Notice the believer's common experience with creation. Verse 23, we read, "And not only they," that's speaking of the creatures, "but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." Now, notice the words "ourselves also." Paul is coupling together the believer with all of creation, which is in a state of suffering, basically. And here, in verse 23, drop back to verse 22 for a minute. He's picking up what he said from verse 22 about the creation. He says, "But we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain." It's that picturing like a woman in labor about to give birth. "Together until now. And not only they," the creation, and everything involved in creation, "but ourselves also." He just tied in the believer with the creation's groaning and travailing. Did you see that? Why? Because we are not yet delivered from the bondage of creation, folks. We're a part of it. That is, our physical bodies are a part of it. We're going to see that clearly as we progress. Paul is saying here that we also suffer, as does the creation, even though we're present children of God. But in our sufferings, folks, listen, we are being prepared for something yet future. Look at verse 18. Verse 18, Paul says, "For I reckon, I account, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Here, in verse 18, Paul says, yes, we may be suffering for a period of time here in the body, but there's coming a day when we will be glorified with Jesus Christ, and we will, there's no comparison between our present sufferings and the eternal glory that we shall enjoy. You know, when you think about this truth in our first point, it makes you realize, I mean, I had a kidney stone last week, and I was really suffering. It was bad. But you know what? That was only a temporal suffering. Imagine those who go to hell and they suffer eternally. Oh my, I'm thankful that my suffering is only temporal. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hold your place in Romans. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yes, we, like creation, do suffer in this life. Don't listen to the health, wealth, and prosperity preachers. They preach a false gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me at verse 16. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause," the glory of God, "we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, not at the sufferings we endure, not at the tribulations we're going through, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are" what? Temporal. Your sufferings are temporal. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." I am so glad, church, tonight, that we can live for the eternal and not the temporal as the world does. They know no better. But folks, the first point tonight is the believer's common experience with the creation of suffering. Secondly, back in Romans 8, observe Paul's identification of those who do suffer with the creation. Look at verse 23 again. He will identify who they are that suffer along with creation. "And not only they," but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan within ourselves. Paul says those who suffer along with creation are those who've been redeemed and now possess the Holy Spirit. You see that? Now, this terminology, the first fruits of the Spirit, notice that carefully. Here Paul is likening the early believers of his day as the Holy Spirit's first fruits of the church. In other words, the early Christians of the first century AD, which Paul was one of, were only the beginning of a massive worldwide harvest of souls, which would take place throughout the church age of grace. He says, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, this is amazing that 2,000 years since Paul wrote, nearly, so many believers has been added to the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ. Look with me in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, and remember the wording, first fruits, first fruits. You know what it represents from the Old Testament, the first fruits of the harvest, remember? In Romans chapter 16, look at verse 5. Paul says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Notice here in verse 5 that Epaphroditus, who got saved, who lived in Achaia, was the first fruits unto Christ from that town, from that region of Achaia. You see that? He was the first fruits. In other words, he was the first soul saved from that region. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Go over with me to James chapter 1. First fruits, first fruits, first fruits. Very interesting, this terminology in Scripture. In James chapter 1, look with me at verse 18. Speaking of the Father, our Heavenly Father. Verse 18. Of His own will begat He us. We're born again. With the word of truth, that we should be a kind of, what? First fruits of His creatures. First fruits. James says we are first fruits of His creatures. Now, James is including all of creation in verse 18. And he says the true believer, those who've been begotten of God, born of the Spirit, are the first fruits of all creation. You see that? In verse 18, we are the first fruits. We are the most important part because we belong to Him. All that such good stuff. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Flip back just after Romans to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First fruits. First fruits. Incredible truth of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians 16, look with me at verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, saved people, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia. See that? Epaphroditus was one of Stephanas' relatives, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Wow! I love this. They are the first fruits of Achaia, along with Epaphroditus, the first family to be saved in that region. Oh, that's amazing. All right. Now, we've seen clearly that we have an affinity with creation and suffering. Secondly, we've seen Paul's identification of those who do suffer with creation. It's those who have the first fruits of the Spirit. But before we move on to our third point, because some will ask, the first fruits of the Spirit also include the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, the nine fruits of the Spirit, we have those because we have the Holy Spirit in us. Okay. Thirdly tonight, notice the inner turmoil of the believer. Back in Romans chapter 8, observe the inner turmoil of every true believer. 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now notice here the word within. There is an inner turmoil to believers. Let me say something before I go on here with this point. Part of your inner turmoil, child of God, believe it or not, is your resisting temptation to sin. That's part of our inner turmoil. Did you know that? The world does not resist sin. They give into it. They sin it up all they can. This is all they know to do. But you who resist sin and say no to sin, no to the devil, no to the flesh, there is an inner turmoil there. There's a struggle. That's what a turmoil is, a struggle. And by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to make those right decisions of faith which please the Lord. Okay? Now, that's a turmoil. That's just one area of your turmoil that you go through as a true believer. Okay? But there's more. Here we discover, in verse 23, our link with creation. Our physical bodies, because they are not yet redeemed. You hear what I said? I'm going to elaborate on that in a minute. Our physical bodies are not yet redeemed, folks. That means they are still part of the creation. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and together in pain until now, right? Now, your physical body is part of the creation. It's not yet redeemed. So listen, our bodies, being yet still a part of the creation, which is cursed, are subject to pain and suffering and illness and even death. But this groaning of the believer is only temporal. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's only temporal. And this, the true believer understands. That's why we endure all things for Christ's sake. Amen? We love him. We don't mind enduring hardship for the sake, for the cause of Jesus Christ's gospel. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul puts it like this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know, that if our earthly house of this tabernacle... Now, Sunday morning we were talking about the tabernacle, remember? The tabernacle, how that's a picture of our body. The boards were a picture of our bones. The goat skins, a picture of our flesh, all that. It's a picture of the physical body here. And he says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, your body, were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That speaks of your glorified body, right? Clearly. For in this body, we what? Groan. Don't let any of these prosperity preachers tell you there's no suffering for the Christian. They're wrong. Just ask Job. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That's our glorified body. I want it. I want to fly. 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, physical body, do groan. Folks, you have to take scissors and cut this out of the Bible if you want to preach some of these doctrines they've got going today on TV. Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, that's by death, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That's talking rapture right there. I don't have time to show you that. 5. Now he that hath wrought, that's prepared us, for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Paul says, we've got good news, boys. Yes, we're groaning. Yes, we're suffering. Yes, we got turmoil. But praise God, it's going to be all over one day. We're going to get a glorified body from heaven, and it's going to last forever. I love it. Fourthly tonight, back to Romans chapter 8. I told you this verse has a lot for us. I don't want to rush over it. The fourth thing Paul says is this. Observe in Romans 8:23 what it is that we're waiting for. Look with me in verse 23 again. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we, ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for what? The adoption. Wait a minute, Paul. I thought I already was adopted. Oh, be quiet. Sit down. Of course you are. Your soul is already redeemed. Your soul and spirit is completely adopted by God. You are God's kid. But your body's not. Not yet. I don't want to confuse you, folks, so listen. What adoption does Paul speak of in verse 23? This is why it's so important to rightly divide the Word of God. People get all kinds of crazy doctrines by wrongly interpreting these verses. I thought we already were adopted by God. Listen to me. Your physical body has not yet been adopted by God because it is corrupt, sinful. But when God strips us of this present corrupt body and gives us an indestructible, incorruptible, eternal one, then our bodies themselves will be adopted by God forever, the glorified one. And that will not occur until your soul and spirit enters that glorified body. At that point, you will be eternally adopted by God in body as well as soul. Right now, you are adopted. You're saved. You're saved forever. Nothing the devil can do about that. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, I'm waiting for an adoption to take place, and it's not my soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 all about, people? What is it all about? The resurrection. Yes, the gospel and the resurrection that results from it. Look with me here in 1 Corinthians 15. Go with me to verse 42. 42, we read, so also, he just talked about the celestial galaxies and stars and moons and asteroids and all this beautiful creation in outer space. Now he's going to come a little closer to home. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now he's talking about believers who've died, okay? It is sown or buried in, that's when you sow something, you bury it, right? It is sown in corruption. See, it was corrupt before they buried it 6 feet under because it had a sin nature. It is raised, resurrected, in incorruption. I like this. It is sown, buried, in dishonor. It is raised, resurrected, in glory. It is sown in weakness, frail, sick, weak. It is raised, resurrected, in power. It is sown a natural body, a physical body, a corrupt body. It is raised a spiritual body, indestructible. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body, believer. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, natural man, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, a physical body. And afterward, that which is spiritual, a spiritual body. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. Yeah, he was made of dirt. The second man, Jesus Christ, is the Lord from heaven. I love this. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. You see, there's two breeds. There's an earthly breed of unregenerate man, and there's an heavenly breed of regenerate, glorified man. See it? And 49, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, glorified. Now this I say, brethren, listen, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we're not yet adopted. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, die. But we shall all be changed, glorified. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Resurrection. And we, who are alive and remain, shall be changed, glorified. For this, here it is, for this corruptible, don't worry about your physical body being corrupt. There's a big change coming. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Paul says we're getting a glorified body which will be eternally adopted by God, and it will never be destroyed. It will never decay. It will never suffer, and it will never get sick. I love it. Glorious. Back to Romans chapter 8. What it is we're waiting for? The adoption.
to wit, look at it, verse 23. It tells you in verse 23. Notice what the adoption of the body actually is. What is the adoption of the body? Watch it. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit. Anybody know what that word wit means? To begins with a K. N. O. W. To wit means to know. Okay, that's Old English for to know something. To wit, the redemption of our body. Now, notice how the King James Bible interprets itself. First, he makes a statement. We're waiting for an adoption. Then he translates it. The Holy Spirit translates it. To wit, to know what that adoption is. It's the redemption of the body. See it? Meaning your body is not yet redeemed. That's why it needs to be crucified with Christ daily. Because it's sinful. It wants to do its own thing. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to serve God. It doesn't want to come to church. It's weak and it's corrupt. And it needs to be crucified with Christ. And the only way that could occur is through the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit in you can do that. Now notice what the adoption of the body actually is. Observe the fact stated that once the body is redeemed and glorified, it will be eternally adopted by God, according to verse 23. Go to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, look with me at verse number 17. Paul's going to give you two types of people. Those who are corrupt and those who are yet to be glorified. Brethren, be followers together of me. Paul said, you can follow my example as long as I follow Christ. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. An ensample is a living sample. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And boy, oh boy, don't we have a bunch of those in the world today. They are enemy. Me and Ellie were watching the news last night, and they were showing these evil protesters outside the Trump rally, and they're throwing bottles at the police horses, attacking the horses. These people are evil. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Look at it. Whose end? This is where they're heading. Is destruction. Whose God? What they worship? Is their own belly. That means the flesh. And whose glory? What do they boast in? Their shame. Who mind? Pay attention to and practice earthly things. For our conversation, that's the Old English word for lifestyle. Our lifestyle, the way we live, is in heaven. From whence also we look, we're waiting and looking for something, for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are we waiting for him? 21. Who shall change our vile body? I love how Paul didn't pull no punches. He says, your body, it's vile. folks, you know, I don't mean to be facetious, but aren't we reminded of that daily? How vile our bodies are, you know? You got to relieve yourself and, oh, man. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You mean my body's going to be like Jesus' body? Yep, that's what he just said. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He says he's going to give you a glorified body that will never, ever corrupt. Wow. Now, this is the fact of what the adoption Paul speaks of in Romans 8:23 is. The body being glorified, verse 21. See that? And it'll be like unto Christ's body. That's incredible. Hebrews chapter 2. We're not done yet. Hebrews. Just after Philemon, you'll find Hebrews. And of course, that is just prior to the book of James. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, we believe Paul wrote the book for various reasons I've given you. In Hebrews chapter 2, look with me at verse number 9. The writer, by the Holy Ghost, says, Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Yeah, he became flesh. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, I love that, by the way, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. That word perfect, don't get confused, verse 10, means glorified. Okay? Jesus Christ became glorified with his glorified body through suffering on the cross. You see that? All right. Now, notice here in verse number 10 that it says Jesus Christ died in order that he might bring many sons and daughters unto glory. That's a state of glorification. Okay? That's what he's doing right now. And that's what he'll continue to do until the last soul is saved. Now, go with me to Job chapter 14. I've got such good news tonight, folks. We're going to be glorified. These sufferings are not worthy to be compared with that glory that we shall indeed have one day soon. In Job chapter 14. Oh, look at verse 1. That's always a good verse to remind us. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Oh, man. Well, the key words in that verse is the few days. It's only for a time period, okay? But drop down with me to verse 14. Verse 12. So man lieth down, death, and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I what? Wait till my change come. Now, Job here thought he was going to die. He didn't think he was going to be killed by God, which he was, but he thought they were good. His friends, Eliphaz and Temanites, and these guys were going to bury him. He thought they were going to hold his funeral because he was so ill, but he didn't. He didn't die, but he's looking to the future. He's saying, okay, if a man die, like I'm going to, shall he live again? Question. He says, well, all the days of my appointed time. His appointed time where? In the grave, that's right. His appointed time in the earth, in a grave. Will I wait? He said, I'll be waiting for something yet future till my change come, till I get a glorified body in resurrection. See that? All right, now, this is the good news. Job knew that one day God would raise him from the dead and give him a glorified body which God would adopt forever. Okay? And that's what Paul's saying in Romans 8:23. One more and we'll finish up. 1 John. Go to 1 John, epistle, chapter 2. Just prior to Revelation and Jude, you'll find 3 John, then 2 John, then 1 John. And in 1 John, go to chapter 2. Look at this. We'll finish up here. In 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love, and this will really blow your spiritual socks off. Look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. John says here in verse 2 that when Jesus Christ shows up in rapture of the church, we'll be glorified and we'll be just like him. Glorified. And our glorified bodies will be adopted by our Heavenly Father. You know your Heavenly Father can't wait for that day. He's already got your glorified body waiting for you up there. He's just waiting for your soul to enter it.
So he can say, now this is mine forever.
We've got to be united before the adoption of the body takes place. All right. Now here we see clearly, back to Romans chapter 8, what it is that we're waiting for. The adoption of the body which will be redeemed, that is glorified. Sinless perfection at last. It's going to be great. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Father in heaven, how we thank you for verse 23, that we indeed, who know the truth, are presently awaiting our glorification. I love how in the same chapter, a few verses further down, Lord, you said that those whom he knew, he redeemed and glorified. Lord, you said it in the past tense. It's a done deal, as if it were already accomplished. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you can speak and call those things which be not as though they were, because you inhabit all eternity. You can tell us the future before it happens. We thank you for that tonight, Father, and we thank you for this precious truth that Paul relates to us tonight. Don't worry about the sufferings. They're only temporal. They'll all be gone forevermore one day, and we will enjoy our precious Lord Jesus forevermore in an incorruptible, glorified body. And we thank you for that tonight, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. We'll sing one in close. We'll stand. And let's open up to 331 for our closing hymn tonight. Ah, oh, he's so faithful. We like to sing about his faithfulness, too. Hymn number 331, we'll sing all three. Yes, indeed. Ah, I'll fix that real quick. Yeah, it happens, but we do know what to do. That's good news.
Wake up time. Wake up choir.
Yeah, wake up the choir over here in the corner. Did I put him to sleep? We certainly hope not.
You're saying too much.
Yeah.
Okay. We need a break, Rasta.
Oh, boy. All right. And as I was saying, hymn 331. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Yeah. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by I see all I have needed, thine hand hath provided, and great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Ah, yes, summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Third, listen.
that endureth.
Yes, it does.
Thine omnipresence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope of tomorrow. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thine hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.
Amen, amen. Well, Father, how we thank you tonight for a great midweek service, Lord. We thank you that we've got a prayer meeting to follow. And Lord, we thank you for the truth from Romans chapter 8 tonight, that one day we will receive an indestructible body, a spiritual body. It'll be able to pass through solids. It'll be able to fly at the speed of light. Lord, we thank you for that tonight. Our present sufferings are not worthy to even be considered because of the glory that's yet to be revealed in us. And that glory is the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. We thank you, Lord, that we know the truth tonight. We are not deceived. We love Jesus Christ and Him supremely. We seek to glorify His name throughout the earth. We ask you to bless the message tonight, Lord. We ask you to make it a blessing to the hearers thereof, even on the web, Lord, that they would be touched and they would be strengthened in their Christian walk of faith all around the world, O God. And Lord Jesus, that you might call someone to preach through this message, that you might save some souls, that you might do a great work, O God. We just thank you for it. We thank you most of all for your precious Holy Spirit. You've not left us alone. You're dwelling within us, leading and guiding us every step of the way. We love you tonight. We ask you to bless us as we're dismissed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.